saw that it was good. Then rebellion. Turned her friend into his greatest enemy. Friend. Traitor. Battle that still rages on. Fallen, a short story by ZK Stone. Available on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited.
Hey, welcome to the David Rydell Program. Glad to have you with us this week. It's our new weekly podcast coming out every week. Make sure that you share and like and send money and whatever else you can do to help promote us. We love it. We love it. Having a good time doing this, making me study, making me do some research and stuff. And really want to give a big shout out to my buddy, Zach. He's behind the controls over there in our other studio. We have multiple studios around the country. This time I'm being brought to you all the way from Moreno Valley, California. Been 97, 98 degrees today, out rolling around with my big trucks, undecking them in a dirt parking lot, Zach. It was within 15 minutes, I was filthy. I mean, that real fine dirt that when the wind
Great.
Blows, it just.
So now we have to mark like this explicit.
Yeah. Yes. But I come back into the room, got my shower, and now we're doing a podcast. Zach, how's things going in your world, man?
Not so great.
That doesn't sound good.
No. It's been a horrible, I'd say about a week and a half.
Really?
Yeah. I cannot find a Popeye's chicken sandwich anywhere. That's all I hear about. Online and people at work talking about Popeye's chicken sandwich. It's better than Chick-fil-A. Is it better than Chick-fil-A? And
no, I've never even had one, Zach. And I can tell you, there is no better chicken sandwich in the world.
But we don't know that. Chick-fil-A might be the Old Testament sandwich. Popeye's could be the New Testament sandwich. So, I mean, I have to try it.
Is the Krispy Kreme of chicken. I'm just saying.
We've already discussed Krispy Kreme and how I feel about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, okay, I went to a Popeye's. They had a sign on the door. Okay, get this. It actually said, sorry, we close. Not sorry, we're closed. It was sorry, we close. And I thought, okay, it was like 8:30. So, like, that's weird, and the grammar's horrible, which, to me, looks bad on, you know, the company. But anyways, the next day I go back, and I think, okay, even if they don't have I'm sorry, I got it backwards. The first day I went, they didn't have the chicken sandwich. So, the second day, I was like, okay, I'll get my regular if they don't have the sandwich. And then I saw the sign that said, sorry, we close. And then I went back yesterday, and they still have a sign up saying, we're coming back soon for the chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't even think it exists. I do not believe the chicken sandwich exists. I believe it was just a media, whatever, to get people to come to the restaurant.
You know, Zach, you're not seeing the whole story. See, that's why I'm the host and you're the executive producer, all right? I give the truth as I see it. So you got to understand, you remember that Area 51 raid we were talking about?
Yeah, the one that you wouldn't go do because of the 15-mile run between the fence and the base.
I don't mind to help free aliens, but I'm not running even for a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I'm just saying, if you see me running, Zach, you should probably be running too because there's something bad going on from where I'm running from. And that's what you get for wanting to cheat on God's chicken. I'm just saying, Krispy Kreme. Or not Krispy Kreme. The other one there, Chick-fil-A. Just like Krispy Kreme.
Remember, Chick-fil-A about as good as you do your Bible.
Maybe a little better. I'm not sure. That's all right. So
well, we see the results of Chick-fil-A better than we do your Bible reading. So
Exactly. I am fat. And not just on the word. Well, thank you, Stu. I appreciate you showing up and doing all this hard work to get us on the air. And you're one of the best executive producers in the business, Stu. I really appreciate you. Anyway, on to our topic today.
Wait, hold on real quick.
Yeah.
Who's Stu? You're not Glenn Beck.
Glenn only wishes he could be me. I'm just saying. Anyway, did I call you Stu, really?
Yes, you did.
That's embarrassing. We'll edit that out.
No, we won't. We
So anyway, let's get on to our topic before I further embarrass myself by calling you something else. Anyway, is America a democracy? Well, if you listen to our politicians today, if we listen to the news media today, they're always using the word to describe America as a democracy. Our founding fathers so feared democracy. They so hated democracy because, I don't know, every single democracy that's ever been has failed. And so they went out of their way to keep us from being a democracy. They wanted us to be a republic. Now, here's the difference between a democracy and a republic. A democracy is basically mob rule. And you say, you know, and sometimes mob rule, Zach, sometimes it feels like it's right. All right. But I'm going to tell you, mob rule is never right. Mob rule is always going to be bad. Mob rule is for example, you got a pedophile that moves into your neighborhood and a bunch of your neighbors go out and beat the tar out of him and he moves out of the neighborhood. No, not good. Yeah, you may hate pedophiles and you may not want them to be in your neighborhood, but when the people take the power into their own hands to exercise judgment and execution of judgment against that person, that's mob rule. Well, you take the old lynch gangs or lynch mobs, you know, guys caught rustling cattle and a bunch of ranchers finding rustling cattle and they string him up. That's mob rule. And that's actually a democracy. There is no better definition of democracy than that right there. Because if you got 15 guys that are on the lynch mob, and 13 of them say, lynch him up. And two of them say, no. Well, guess what? The 13 win. But is the 13 right? Is the 13 acting in the best interest of the community? Are they following the law? See, that's why we, even in the old West, we wanted to have a sheriff there. Why? Because the sheriff represented the law. And that's what defines a republic. See, a democracy is on mob rule, but a republic is on the law. It's based on the law. We found God instituted the first republic. He set down not only the Ten Commandments, but the entire book of the law. The Pentateuch was all about what it took. And if you break those things down, you've got a civil law, you've got a government, you've got things that the government is supposed to do, you got things that the people are supposed to do. Moses broke up different judges, even when he was coming across the wilderness, he broke up different judges to judge things. And Samuel, he was part of that civil law. He would actually travel from city to city or from country or from parts of the country to parts of the country. And was basically the first circuit court, if you will. That's why we actually have circuit courts in America, because years ago, judges would actually travel from area to area. And I remember the old Westerns, you probably do too, Zach. The old Westerns, they were always, the guy was in jail waiting for the judge to come in. Why? Because he was a circuit. It was a circuit court. It didn't stay in one area. The judge actually traveled to different areas to pronounce judgment. Well, that came straight out of the Bible. And our founding fathers wanted that in our Constitution, in our way of government, if you will, to give people that republic. See, basically a democracy is based on feelings and emotions. And that's where the danger lies. And here's why there's a danger in a democracy, and why all republics eventually become democracies. And we're heading in that direction right now. We've actually already started making the very fast transition into a democracy now. It started back in the 30s, even in the 20s, late 20s, it started into that democratic mindset away from the law. And what we've got going on today is we've got people who are masters at manipulating the emotions of people. We've got newscasters, we've got politicians, we've got entertainment and sports figures who are all they're doing is manipulating the minds of the people and making these emotional pleas to people. Well, let me tell you something. It's not about the emotions. A republic has to be founded on what is the law. And it's our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, even the Declaration of Independence. These things are what make us a republic. That's why every politician has to stand before the judge and swear to protect the Constitution. They're not there to protect us. They're there to protect the Constitution. Why? Because the Constitution, if protected, then protects us. Therefore, those who want to do away with the Constitution, they don't see the founding fathers set it up that it was really, really hard to actually change the Constitution. It was very, very hard. And there's a reason for that. They didn't want people. That's this gun debate that's going on right now. It's all emotional. And they're getting ready to start changing laws and violating constitutional rights because of emotion. Well, they're writing laws that are unconstitutional. But with the political system that we got today, guess what the Supreme Court is probably going to do? They're going to uphold these emotional laws because they're basing... Because we're becoming a democracy. Even in our legal system, it's become a democracy. Nobody is going back to the original document to make sure that these laws do not violate the laws that have been set forth in the Constitution. And that's the danger of this. See, and the reason that that republics always fall into a democracy, and I'm not being a fatalist, it's just historical fact. The reason they always fall into a democracy, then they fall into anarchy, and then they the people, because of anarchy, because who wants to live in an anarchy where I am the law? That's what anarchy is. I'm the law. There is no government. There is no law. I do what I want to do. And the Bible actually referred to a time where they did what was right in their own eyes. See, that's anarchy, because they're not recognizing any law, not God's law, not the laws that man has taken from God's word. And there's no place. No. So what happens then is when anarchy happens, then they say, somebody has to fix this. Well, guess what? The people who started the trouble, look at the history, Lenin, Mao, Hitler, all of these people who became tyrants, blood-letting tyrants, they all were the ones who started the problem. Sound familiar? What's going on in our country right now? We've got a news media who is hounding on guns right now, hounding on it. But the statistical facts say that America is solidly in the middle in gun violence statistics. I mean, solidly in the middle. Russia has hardly any guns in the hands of their civilian population. Hardly any. Yet their murder rate and their suicide rate is staggeringly worse than ours. Why? It's a manufactured problem, and it's always a manufactured problem. Hitler used his brown shirts. They went out and just wreaked havoc in the community until the people said, somebody's got to stop this. Guess what? Hitler and his minions were standing in the background saying, we'll stop it. They actually turned and killed the people that they had given the authority to go do this and cleaned up the neighborhoods. Well, that made him a hero for a while. Lenin, Castro, all of these people people. They manipulate the emotions of the people. You are being manipulated right now. Every time you turn on any news media, you are being manipulated. They know you're not going to sit down and do the research that I do or that other people do that are trying to get this message out there. You turn on the news, you come home from work, and I get it. I've been there. You come home from work, you're tired. All you want to do is just live a normal life. All you want to do is just, you know, watch a little TV, eat your dinner, enjoy your family, and then go to bed. I hope you're listening to this podcast because I want to tell you something. You're being manipulated. And what they're doing is through emotion, they're trying to come at you and get you to change your opinion about a lot of different things that's going on right now. It's not just guns. It's the Electoral College. It's the government. I mean, everybody is, I've never seen a time. It was always one side was afraid of the other side. The other side was, you know, not afraid of its own side. You know what I'm saying? It's always been that, you know, I'm afraid of the other side. Well, I'm afraid of the other side. Well, now it's I'm afraid of both sides because both sides are starting to violate the Constitution. There was a time when neither wanted to violate the Constitution. They lived by that letter of the law. And here's the deal. If we lose that rule of law as the center and the core of who we are, then guess what? We lose our country. It will not. I'm telling you, it always happens, it always has, and it always will. If we lose the law as the center of who we are and what our government, our system of government, our lives are working around that are built on, then we're going to lose it, and we're going to have total chaos. They are right now building a world in America that's going to be total chaos. And guess what? There are people that are literally trying to burn this system to the ground. They hate it. They've always hated it. There's always been a section of America that hates the Republic, that hates the free market. Now, the free market and capitalism, sometimes interchange, but in my mind, they're actually two different things. So capitalism, and this is part of that socialist movement, and that democratic, see, democracy, or saying that we're a democracy is actually just a catchphrase for being we're wanting to be socialist. They're wanting us to be socialist, let's put it that way. I don't want to be a socialist, and I don't want to be a democracy. But what they want to do is to bring us down to that state where we become a socialist country. We want the state to take over and to fix what's wrong. And so when that happens, we lose our status because we don't recognize the law. They want to, you know, they're trying to do inroads around the Constitution. They have been doing this for years. And it just will not work because when we lose, and people are not studying the Constitution anymore. A recent study, you know, there's people that don't even know what the First Amendment protects. Doesn't even know that their First Amendment rights, what they are. You know, most everybody knows what the Second Amendment rights is because it's just a single thing that it's actually protecting. But it's a very scary thing. I'm going to come back and talk some more about this, but we're going to take a little break here. We got a brand new sponsor. We're excited about it. And I want you to take a listen to this and go support our sponsor. Hey, welcome back. And really excited about our sponsors. And just to let you know that we are now available on every single podcast method that's out there. I think Zach's been working very, very hard. We're on Apple iTunes, we're on Spotify, and we're on our Facebook page as well, the David Rydell Show. Go check us out. I'm going to start trying to post a little more on that. I haven't really been posting a lot, but I'm going to start shooting some short videos and try to post on that a little bit more often. But Zach is the brains behind all of this, and so I really do appreciate what he's doing here. Okay, back to our topic. Is America a democracy? The answer to that is absolutely no. Our founding fathers did not want to happen. Now, a democracy sounds good at an emotional level, all right? An emotional level says, oh, a democracy, my voice is heard. I am a large part of the democratic process. Well, that's true anyway. You're already, even in the republic, your voice is heard. And democracy sounds good because it is more personal. It feels like it's more personal. No, it's not. But actually, you take away the law. As a matter of fact, the Greek motto, they're the first ones that actually, well, no, they're actually the second ones. God ordained Israel as a democracy. Or I'm sorry, God ordained Israel as a republic, with his law being the center. And then the different laws that spread out from that, God's law was then encompassing government, criminal law, civil law, things like that. All of those laws were instituted by God and then makes that a republic, meaning the law is the center of how that government will be run. Where a democracy is, the will of the people is going to be the center of what actually happens. Now look, the will of the, and that's why it always fails, is because man has fallen. Man's ideals, man's opinions, man's heart is desperately wicked. You can't trust your heart. There has to be a rock solid, there has to be a rock solid truth. And a recent survey I just read just a couple days ago, that church people were asked, is there a perfect truth? Is there an undeniable truth? And they said, no. A large majority of the church people don't believe that there is an absolute truth. That's dangerous. See, and that's because we start to fail to realize that God's law, and that's what our law was built on, was God's law. That was absolute truth. And when you go away from that, then you become an anarchy. And look at Cain and Abel. I mean, there was two brothers that turned against each other. Both of them started off good. Both of them wanted the will of God. Both of them were actually searching for God's heart. That's what made made Cain so angry, is because God rejected his sacrifice and took on Abel's sacrifice, which was the right way to do it. See, God has instituted a law. Abel is following the law. Cain is not. Guess what? Cain wanted a democracy, and Abel stood for what was right, so he killed him. It always ends up that way because of the fall of man. That's why democracy always turns into anarchy. Anarchy then has to be dealt with. The old adage is, if you don't police yourself, someone will police you. Well, that's the way it is. And what we're heading towards is an oligarchy, which is where a select few people are ruling our nation. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be represented by the people. And here's one of the ways that you're getting away from that. What's going on right now is they're actually trying. I don't know if you've heard about it, but this is an actual danger in our republic right now. I believe it's there's 170 or 165 votes. It only takes 270 electoral college votes to elect the president of the United States. If they get 270 votes this way, then it's over. The democracy has ended. And here's how they're trying to do it. They've got 165, I think, right now. What they're doing is, these states who are wanting a democracy, not a republic, are passing laws that when the election comes about, if, let's say next time that Trump is facing Bernie Sanders, okay? I don't think that's going to happen, but just in case, okay? Just using it as an example. If Trump wins the Electoral College, 270 or better votes for the Electoral College, but does not get the majority of the votes across the nation, then those states will then swing their Electoral College votes towards the majority. So if Bernie Sanders wins the majority of the votes, but not the majority of the Electoral College, then all of the votes from those states that have passed this law, and there's, I think, I forget how many it is, so I'm not going to say it, but they got, I think it is 165 electoral college votes already, that they will go that way. Now, I don't think they're actually going to do it. If, let's just use this as an example, too. If President Trump wins the popular votes but does not win the Electoral College votes, I don't see them giving him the election anyway. No, not going to happen. All right. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to butter the bread on both sides here so that they're going to win. And that's the way that side has always played the game. I'm sorry. I've just got to tell it. I'm sorry. It's just the way it's always been played. So anyway, back to the topic. Why do we even have an Electoral College? Now, on the state level, if you vote for a governor, it's not Electoral College. It's a straight democracy. It is, you know, the majority of the people of that state will then vote for whoever becomes the governor of that state. Same way with your mayor. The people in that particular area votes for that person, and the majority of the votes then gives them the office of the mayor, let's say. But you see, they only represent that town as the mayor and that state as the governor. So those people are the only ones that have the right to say who governs them at that certain level. All right. So the people's voice is being heard. It's fair. It's legal. Same way with the senators. Same way with representatives. Okay. You vote for them. They represent that state. That's it. All right. Now, everyone is represented equally with the other states because they break up the states by the population, gives you the House of Representatives. You've got more people, you get more representatives in the House, which is why states that have large populations of illegal immigrants that are Democrat, they want to count the immigrants as in the census, because the census is what gives them the number of House representatives that they have. They want more representatives. Same thing the South done during the war. They wanted to vote. These are people that thought their slaves were property, all right? They looked at them as property, but they wanted to count them as people so that they'd have more people or more representatives in the House, and that way they could sway the law. The three-fifths clause was actually started by abolitionists. They said, no, we know what you, we see what you're doing. We don't want you to do that because you're just trying to get more power in the House so that you can make your laws and push them down our throats. That's why the three-fifths laws came out. It wasn't by the Southern states that wanted that. They weren't actually saying they were three-fifths of a human being, which is what some of the Democratic politicians are saying today and what a lot of the news media is saying. These were abolitionists that hated slavery, that actually recognized the slave as a human being, but realized that if they let the South get by with that, they would never be able to overthrow slavery. Make sense? Same thing's going on today. They want more power so that they can have their laws shoved down our throats. That's a democracy. That's what a democracy does. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. So we have these things set up to protect us from that. Okay, the you get every state is voted or is represented equally in the Congress, in the Senate, because each state gets two senators. They're also represented equally based on their census as their House of Representatives. So we're equal there. But what about the President of the United States? I come from a small state, let's say. I come from Montana, not a lot of people. But my state still has to be represented. Some way it has to be represented equally with a state like California or Texas or New York. Okay? So how do they do that? It's through the Electoral College. What the Electoral College says is that your state has, based on its number of senators, or a number of House of Representatives, or the population, if you will, they get so many Electoral College votes. So when actually you're voting, you're not actually voting for the President of the United States. You're actually voting for your electors that are going to represent you and cast that vote. And that's why when we vote, then it goes to, there's actually an Electoral College vote where these people actually step forward and say, I cast my vote for whoever. Here's the way that works. Here's the reason that's important, is because the President of the United States represents everybody. Unlike your governor, unlike your senator, unlike your congressman, he or she represents everybody across the United States. So everyone has to be represented equally. So that's why the founding fathers came up with this ingenious idea of the Electoral College. It protects the small states against the great states. Now, if they pass that law, if they pass enough, or let me back it up, if enough states pass that law that says we're going to follow the majority of the popular vote, we're going to go with the popular vote instead of what our state voted, the republic is dead. We have actually then just become a democracy. And remember this, every democracy ends up in anarchy because people don't feel represented. If they take my vote from my state, if my state voted for such and such for president, and they take my vote knowing that my state wanted that person to be the president and give it to the other person, what do you think is going to happen? And in my opinion, that's exactly what they want to happen, because they have another system of government already in place where a select few of very powerful people are going to be shoving their belief system down our throat. You say, that's not going to happen. It already is. It's already going on. Through the media, they have brainwashed us into thinking that certain things are okay. I mean, we got parents that are afraid to tell their kids, no, I'm not going to authorize a sex change operation for you. They're doing it because they're afraid they'll take their kid away from them. It's insane. Our world is going insane. Why? Because man has fallen. We're a fallen creature. We've gotten to the point where the battle cry is, don't judge me. I'll tell you something. If you're not willing to be called out on the things you're doing that is wrong, you're headed for disaster. Without a moral compass, you will experience a moral catastrophe. And that's where we're at today. I mean, we hate people that tell us the truth, and we accuse them of that heinous thing of judging. Do you not know that those people who are trying to reach you only care about you? And the only reason they're saying, hey, you need to look at your life, is because they don't want you to end up in a moral catastrophe. You have no moral compass. They see it. They're just trying to show you that you don't. It's not because they hate you or that they don't want you to have fun. They don't want you to enjoy life. They don't want you to live life your way. No, because they know there's a law, a moral law, that if you violate it, your life's going to fall apart. It's a guarantee. It's been proven millions and millions and millions of times over. Here's what I say. If you see me doing something stupid, if you see me doing something wrong, please tell me. I don't want my life any more messed up than it already is. I'd like to live a little more peaceably. And as the Greek said, there is no freedom without the law. Thank you for joining us. A little heavy there at the end. Sorry, Zach. But appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for liking and sharing and commenting. I'm going to read every comment that you guys post. I'm excited about this. I want to communicate with you. If you agree with me, that just shows how smart you are. And if you don't, I want to hear that. I would love to have good, honest, open, friendly debate. I like that. I don't like that fist fighting on Facebook. No. Just good, honest, friendly, open debate. God bless you all. Zach, thank you for all you do. Join us next week. We'll have a brand new podcast. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about yet, but and I'm going to be posting some more videos. Thank you very much for joining us. God bless you all. Zach, wait. I'm not done yet. Look, I've got this good friend that he is always messing with me. And I would say his name, but some of you that are watching may not know him, and I would never call Tony Cannon out that way. But he is always messing with me, and I just want to make a personal announcement here to Tony Cannon, and only you that have been following us on Facebook for ever will understand this, but Brother Tony, I will never pay you the $26 you say I owe you, all right? So it's my constitutional right not to pay you. Maybe stretching it a little bit, but that's the way it is. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Zach, appreciate you, buddy. Going to sign off now for real, all right? Anything to say, Zach?
Yeah, just one thing. You keep mentioning the Constitution.
Yeah.
What's that?
Excuse me? What's what? You don't know what the Constitution... What? Are you insane? You're on the David Rydell. You're the executive producer of the David Rydell. You are the guy who said, let's do a podcast, David Rydell. We'll do a podcast on all the things that are popular in the world. We'll talk about politics. We'll talk about everything. Oh, Zach is the guy. Well, you don't know what the Constitution of the United... Have you lost your...